As we prepare to hear the reading of God's word, let us join together in prayer. O holy God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would transform us through the reading of your word, that as the words are spoken, we may be illumined through our heart and mind to have a new understanding of what you say to us today, that it would enable us to be faithful disciples in the world that you have created. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 29. It's verse 1 and then verses 4 to 7. God's people are in exile, and they don't like it at all. They miss Jerusalem, and they grieve what used to be a part of their lives, but is no longer. Jeremiah sends them a letter, and his instructions are in the passage that we read this morning. So let us listen to the word of the Lord together. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all of the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Our second reading is in the Gospel of Luke and is a story of miraculous healing just outside the town of Samaria. Now, no well-respected Jew ever went near Samaria, for the Samaritans were considered lowly people. But believe it or not, Jesus went near Samaria, and this is a story of his healing 10 with leprosy. Let us read together the word of our Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out to him, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, I have just entered a new community. And unlike the Israelites, it has been my choice to move to Lewistown. But as some of you may know, there is a learning curve when moving into a new town. Now, most of us begin by finding the local grocery store or the Walmart. We might find the closest place to get gas, or depending on if we have children, we then try to find the library or the local park. And as we settle in, we transition to new doctors, eye doctors, dentists, dry cleaners, and finding the local post office. And then, of course, the most fun happens when you start trying new restaurants or finding the local movie theater. But eventually, anytime we move into a new town, we get around to learning more about our neighborhood, our neighbors, and what others might be saying about the town. Now, I don't know my neighbors yet, and I'm just getting to know many of you. But getting to know the neighborhood means that at times, I end up making judgments upon the physical things I see, such as homes and cars and people. For example, the neighbor to the left of me has dogs, a lot of dogs. He is a dog lover. But it's not exactly fair to make assumptions or to make judgments. But when we are new in town, it's easiest to make judgments or assumptions upon what we see and perhaps by what others tell us. I also gain information by watching how this church engages in the community. For example, I know that close to 150 people attend your community luncheon the last Sunday of the month. I've learned that close to 40 kids attend preschool on a weekly basis, which means that the preschool is providing an opportunity for children in this community to grow socially, educationally, and spiritually. I see evidence of this church donating hats and mittens and pumpkin bread and time and talents and treasure to several local organizations. And of course, that's not all the ways the church is connected to community, but they are a few examples. And I commend you for walking outside the doors of the church and finding ways to help your neighbors. I like being part of a church that is just as outward focused as they are inward focused. I've always said to others that most of us are so richly blessed in our lives and in the life of the church that we don't have to pick or choose between neighbors or church members. A faithful church can attend to the needs of their community while attending to the needs of devoted members. The scripture passage from Jeremiah implores the Israelites to seek the welfare of the city, even though the city in which they are situated is in Babylon. The Israelites were devastated that they could not be in Jerusalem because everything was better way back when before they became exiles. The future is really scary at this point for God's people. They are waiting to be delivered from exile to their home in Jerusalem. And there are people around them claiming that God will soon deliver them, and that's all that they can talk about or think about. But then they get a message from the prophet Jeremiah, and his message tells them to stay put. Not just to stay put, but to create, in some sense, a new life for themselves in enemy territory. They are to build houses and live in them, to plant gardens, and to marry and bear children so that they may increase in size. Jeremiah expects that the people will live in Babylon for at least two generations. There, they are to build a community amid their captors, amid their enemies. They are to live life in this strange world. As if that command isn't enough to make them upset, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, goes on to say, "Seek the welfare of the city and pray to the Lord on its behalf." God's expectation for us to serve God and neighbor is intimately connected with seeking the welfare of the city. The very people who had taken them away from their homes in Jerusalem should be prayed for by the Israelites. That had to be a hard request for them to swallow. Of course, none of us are living as exiles in a foreign land. Our freedom largely remains intact, but still we are called to seek the welfare of Lewistown. We are called to invest our individual and our corporate lives into the places and spaces of Lewistown that need the love of God. If we don't feel like exiles, that doesn't mean that there aren't others in this community who feel like they've been exiled. Think of all the ways that others are cut off from society, like the lepers in today's gospel story. Perhaps it's not by skin disease, but by drug addiction, or lack of money, or marital and family problems, or just a feeling of worthlessness. Scripture guides us to the truth that we must boldly point people in ways that lead to life, in ways that unite the body of Christ, that reconcile and heal always with humility, recognizing the uncertainty as well as the promise of whatever lies ahead. Seek the welfare of Lewistown, where neighbors down the street may be Hindu or Jewish, Buddhist or Muslim. Seek the welfare of workplaces where colleagues may be agnostics or New Age seekers, or folks who think of themselves as spiritual but really not religious. Seek the welfare of communities where activists may be trying to separate everything church and state, or to inject some righteousness and religion into the laws of our secular society. In short, we, you and I, are called to seek the well-being of a diverse, confusing, and often conflicted culture. Engage it, says Jeremiah. Don't escape it. For in its welfare, you will find welfare. As Christians in a post-Christian culture, our challenge is to work and pray for the wholesomeness of the society with which our own well-being is so closely linked. Now, this doesn't mean that we abandon the spiritual life and fellowship of this congregation and become social service agencies or public policy centers. No, it is essential that we remain devoted to the nurture of distinctive Christian language and lifestyle. But it does mean that today and every day, we recommit ourselves to working for the physical, moral, and spiritual welfare of the world around us. It means that all of us see our hometown as a mission field, the very place God calls us to put down roots and to grow in faith and to reach out in love. The prophet calls us to get involved in the welfare of the city, for the city's welfare is also our own welfare. There's no way around it. There's no way to escape this connection. Love God and love neighbor are not prayer requests to be taken lightly or to engage in when it's convenient for us. They are expectations. They are the hope of all of life. In fact, when one lives a life of community building and seeks the welfare of the stranger, one is witnessing to the power of love that God has injected into creation. And yet, so many times, the most challenging mission field on earth is often our own hometown, the place where God calls us to settle in, to put down roots and to grow in faith and to reach out in love. The demands of life are great, no doubt, and sometimes we do not think we are well equipped. But Jesus reminds us that living out our faith by revering God's way, by honoring one another, and by giving thanks in all things, we are given all the faith we require and need. And it's definitely easy to give thanks now because Mary Ann reintroduced us to Barney during the children's chat. So we can thank you for that. Friends, what makes me feel hopeful that Lewistown Presbyterian Church can accomplish offering welfare to our community is that I know that you have already been doing so through a number of activities and invitations that allow groups to use your facilities and partnerships that you've established that allow us to work with others in building a better community in Lewistown. It can't always be easy, but it's always rewarding. I remain hopeful because I've already, in my first week and a half, have sat in meetings where teams and individuals are thinking about ways to engage in different and new ways with the people of God inside and outside our building. The deacons are working with a fellowship team, for example, to create shepherd groups within the church that maintain a better way to stay connected and to re-engage the members and friends who have been absent from church life. These shepherd groups will allow us to connect in a deeper way with one another and ensure that church communication is delivered as soon as possible and with the correct information. The deacons are also faithfully discerning ways to help individuals in the community who need financial assistance. And as the needs rise within our community for food and utilities and so many other needs, they are talking around the table about how they can support that. And again, there is no easy answer, but the discernment process the deacons are going through is good work. And I admire the way our deacons yearn to take care of community members and yet also want to be good stewards of the mission money entrusted to them. And right in this service today, we experienced an opportunity to care for a church member. We prayed for Elaine as she prepares to undergo surgery tomorrow. We spoke words of healing and encouragement around Elaine, circling her with even the youngest people in our congregation. We are concerned about her personal welfare and what we can do to support her, as well as supporting so many others. Well, of course, there is much work to be done within the church that are examples of ways we are attuned to the welfare of the city. And there's much more work that is being done. That's what I meant to say. Much more work being done within the church that are examples of ways that we are attuned to the welfare of the city. Sometimes our work means to stay the course by providing programs and assistance that have proven to be helpful. And sometimes it means we need to let go of what we think will work so that we can embrace a new idea. And honestly, that's what I find so exciting about pastoral ministry. Looking at the future of the church and its ministry, not with fear, but with hope and anticipation. Reminding us all that we serve a God who at times made changes as well in the lives of God's people so that the people of God could be blessed. Life changes. Communities change. We change. Pastoral and church leadership changes. All this change doesn't have to be scary. Not when we remember that God's love never changes. God's grace never changes. Think for a moment about the lepers in today's gospel story of healing. They were completely removed from their community because of an infliction they had no control over. Imagine the joy they will experience returning to their community. Imagine the joy they will experience knowing that they no longer suffer alone. And yet imagine the fear that they must feel, wondering whether they will be welcomed to participate in the life of their community. We don't want anyone to be fearful of engaging in the community around this church. Whether it is us walking outside the church doors or someone who has felt exiled coming through the church doors to be inside. We want to cultivate joy and acceptance and a sense of belonging. So be encouraged this day by the ways you already have sought the welfare of Lewistown. And may we all trust the good news of Jesus Christ and trust that that good news will allow us to continue to find new ways to connect to the community near and far, to the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able as we join together in a couple praise songs that are found printed in your bulletin. Let us offer our sincere praise to God who cares for us.